Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Revival, as you just mentioned, we say that, don't we, sometimes, that revival really is the church returning to its normal state, what should be the normal state of the church. You know, the early church we watch in the book of Acts, and we see, you know, this church that is passionate about God, you know, the church of Ephesus there in Jesus' first letter in the book of Revelation, you know, they had left their first love, then saying that, you know, before that time of that letter, in the time of, the Apostle John there around 90-something A.D., but earlier, you know, they were in love with the Lord and a passionate and powerful church with the grace of God on them. And just the human heart, you know, years go into decades and things change and so forth. But, yeah, revival is really the church returning. It's awakening. It's coming alive and really returning and becoming what it is supposed to be. And so I appreciate that old 1800s Webster Dictionary definition that you've just brought up. And revival is so needed. I know personally that in this season, I've been here a long time, man, and so have you, and had the privilege of serving the Lord for a long time and praying just over and over endlessly for our community here in Central Mass and praying for breakthrough and you know, some tough neighborhoods around the town that I'm part of and you know, wonderful neighborhoods too, but some tough ones, and just praying for God to do, bring breakthrough and a revival to the church, an awakening in the community, you know, a spiritual renewal. And this season has really got my attention, and I find that I'm more earnest. And I know that is a pattern in my life at times. God brings me to places where I'm more earnest and more serious and more focused and, you know, really just focusing on Him and seeking Him and praying for revival. And yet, as I'm doing that at the same time, I am sensing at times, just in my own little walk with the Lord, His presence in a wonderful way, and it's encouraging to me. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's just what a wonderful walk we have with God through the Holy Spirit. And when we experience that overflow, you know, the blessing and the overflow, there's no better life. And to have the church at large walking in this Spirit and overflow, just living for the Lord. So, yeah, returning revival, awakening, I hear you.
Yeah, and I think yourself and your church, like ours, we've been praying for revival and awakening for many years now. Yeah. And I've been encouraged recently as I've, you know, just been getting emails from other churches, and other pastors are kind of reaching out and sort of, for lack of a better term, forming sort of a coalition, you know, that crosses denominational lines. Mm-hmm. And the number of people who are saying things like, we've been praying, there's been a small group in our church praying for years for revival and awakening, has just been so encouraging to hear. And, you know, there's a saying, I think it's one of those wonderful sayings by Warren Wiersbe, you know, who went to be with the Lord recently, and he said, the prayer meeting is the least attended meeting in the church.
Yep.
And that's sad but true. And I know when we have our times of prayer, which we have every Wednesday night, some nights it's just me, and other nights it's two or three, and some nights it's 10. But, you know, when we get together and we pray, I always make sure that we pray for revival and awakening, you know. And I think any true revival of God, any true move of the Holy Spirit, and we certainly have to say that revival is a move of the Holy Spirit among God's people, that it starts with prayer. It starts with people, you know, getting desperate before the Lord and calling upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah, I forwarded a video. I might have mentioned it on Tuesday. I don't remember actually now, but a video that's gone around. It's got about 1 million views I've seen on YouTube, but it's a believers in Brazil, that they're Assembly of God believers, as I've done some research on the video. And the Assembly God of God overseer in that region of Brazil, you know, put the word out. But they are lining up the streets, you know, on the streets of this city in Brazil, and they're on their knees, and they're spaced, you know, the COVID-19, the spacing, and social distancing, and they're just crying out to God. And you watch the video, and it's, I don't know, 10 minutes long or so, and you just along different little alleys and streets and some boulevards, and there may even be different versions of it out there, but, you know, these Brazilian believers on their knees, people walking by, cars driving by, and there seems to be many of them, just spaced along the road, just crying out to God, lifting their hands to the Lord and praying for God to bring breakthrough in their city. And, of course, praying for the COVID-19 situation, too. And I look at that, and wow, that's just beautiful. And I know some churches in Southern California, too, have been inspired by that and may pursue that. I think they're trying to pursue doing the same sort of thing in Southern California, but then there's been some restrictions from the government. They haven't been able to do it yet. But prayer, just so beautiful to watch in those videos. And boy, that is what is needed. And I know the Lord is stirring me, and I'm stirring you, and I'm sure the people that are listening. And again, you're tuned into Renew FM right now. This is George Small, and I have with me Dean Barham, and two pastors in Central New England here, and just sharing our hearts and discussing things. And we've been doing this each night, different pastors and so forth. And just considering revival, considering it's such a message of hope at a difficult time that God allows times to get our attention and to get us focused on Him again so He can bring revival and bring life to His bride. And so we're discussing these sort of things. I was reading today Haggai chapters 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And you might remember the book of Haggai, the context of that. But that's sort of, you know, that to me has as a picture of revival. It's not exactly that. They're in a difficult place, but they've gotten focused on the world. That's the problem in Haggai chapter 1. Things aren't going very well. You might remember they're supposed to be building the temple. They're building their own houses, their paneled houses, and they're working hard, and it's just not going well. And the way it's described, you know, you've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. And God says, consider your ways. And the focus is they're on their own thing. And God's like, there's a work, you know, build my house. And in that particular concept text, they had gotten discouraged and stopped building the temple. Build my temple. And then he says, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. And then, you know, when they began to do the right thing, you know, from this time forward, God says, I'm going to bless you. And I just think of that, too. That is in a different context. It's a different story. But just the blessing of God when we get focused on the right things again, when we've had the wrong focus and turning to the Lord and doing the will of the Lord. What do you think, Dean?
Yeah, I agree, George. And yeah, that is a beautiful little book there. You know, what I was going to say, just coming back to the theme of prayer, because I think it's related here to what you were mentioning in Haggai. You know, you probably have seen something similar to what I'm about to say, but, you know, when you're just, you know, trying to minister to people and they come to you for prayer and, you know, pray with me about this or that, you know, which, of course, we delight to do, but so often it relates to the crisis that they're in. And, you know, we understand that, you know, someone's going through something difficult and, you know, they're in pain, they're suffering, they're in emotional anguish, whatever it may be. And yet I've just noticed over the years that our typical human response to pain, to suffering, to discomfort is to have that removed so that we can get back to the way it was before, to get back to equilibrium. And yet, you know, I pray for people, you know, hey, you pray for me and my cancer and my pain and whatnot. And of course we do that. But the first thing I do is pray that they would know the Lord's presence. And I think God always wants whatever we're going through to point us back to Him and to realize apart from Him, we have no hope. And, you know, solving the problem and making the pain go away is not the only thing, you know, that we need. We need the Lord. We need a renewed focus and intensity and passion in our walk with God. And, you know, who knows why we're going through the things we're going through specifically. Only the Lord knows that. But we do know that whatever the reason and whatever the circumstance, He wants us to look to Him. And so that's what I try to encourage people with when we, you know, start praying for their needs and for their situation is let's turn our eyes to the Lord.
Yeah, amen. And that's where we need to be. That's what God wants. And when we get off, we get distracted, we're only really losing out, aren't we? And God then begins to just so graciously as a father begin to do the things he needs to do to get our attention back on him. And man, to know him and draw near to him is such a wonderful experience for us as Christians. What a privilege to know God. Yeah. And to even have his grace upon your life. I know in the last few years of my life personally, you know, I've been here a while and I've had some neat times in my walk where, you know, I was raised a certain way in wonderful churches, but never really considering the overflow in life of the Holy Spirit very much because of the way I was raised. And you know, part of great churches and learning the scripture and all that, and it was wonderful. But then I began to realize, watching certain pastors that, you know, later in my 20s, churches that I went to that just had this grace with them and this joy and just this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit and the boldness, you know, that I never had seen before. And it made it very attractive to me. What is this? You know, what makes them so different? And I began to learn, well, it's just the Holy Spirit. You know, they're really walking in that place where they're yielded to the Holy Spirit. And there's such wonderful boldness and grace upon them and just joy and love. And it made it attractive for me. So I started on a journey, you know, wanting to know more of that. And I would, you know, different times in my life, there's been times I would say I've experienced personal revival. But in the last number of years, it's been interesting for me because life is busy and lots of trials always going on, lots of different things. But there has been almost a continual thing where, you know, you can get discouraged, you can get busy. But boy, if I just sit and start to really turn my heart toward God, I feel like he meets me. It's quite a wonderful thing. And I've had some times where didn't even anticipate it, you know, walking around praying at home or whatever, just seeking the Lord for a little bit. And man, I feel overwhelmed with his presence, you know, and I get on my knees and, you know, Lord, what are you doing? But there's nothing better, I find, to know the Lord and to experience the Lord. And that is what we read in classical revival. We read about these stories of revival coming and, you know, the early church, just the grace of God. There's nothing better. This world, the cisterns, you know, they're empty in the end. You look for satisfaction in this world. You look for pleasure in this world. And if that's what you're putting it all on, you know, and, you know, just really laying your life on that, you're going to come up empty. But when you really know the goodness of God and the presence of God, David, right, he said, wow, I'd rather be in your house, Lord, one day, man, than to be in the, you know, the presence of the wicked for 1,000 days, you know. I've kind of butchered that scripture a little bit, but you know the one I'm talking about. But yeah, just the presence of God and revival, the Holy Spirit, and having a revival come would be just a, boy, I pray that God continues to prepare our hearts. And I look at here in Haggai, again, chapter 1, 2, and that in verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? And I just take that statement, and, you know, I wonder, it's true, isn't it? The church, we can get so busy, and the Americans in the West, so busy with so many other things. That's what we've done. And maybe there's a church that we go to, and maybe it's got a nice building, and maybe there are programs that are running, but the truth is there's a lack of the grace and power of God there because we're so much focused on other things, and there's no power working through the church and, you know, really impacting the community in a real community renewal sort of way. And and now the Lord has our attention like he did in the time of Haggai with a prophet, you know, get back to the things that are important. What do you think?
Oh yeah, totally, George. And while you were just talking about that, my mind just kind of called up this verse, and I just found it here. It's found in the book of Hosea in chapter 10, and it says this in Hosea 10, verse 12, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." And you know, you're talking about being in our paneled houses and, you know, just our comfort and that kind of thing. And I think this is what Hosea is getting out as well when he says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. And, you know, this is this desperation that I think we need to sense and come to in our own hearts. And, you know, we've seen it many times throughout the scriptures, which, you know, we're studying through the book of Genesis in our church. And a couple of weeks ago, we finished Genesis chapter 4. And at the end of that chapter, which, of course, is the chapter where, you know, Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel. And at the end of that chapter, it says, and as for Seth, to him also was born a son, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And it seems, and the commentators were quite emphatic about this, that this might be the very first time in the scriptures a revival is called out. And, you know, people had gotten desperate before God. Evil had entered the world, and people were getting discouraged with, you know, the way the world was going. And, you know, the psalmist in Psalm 73 had a very similar thing, as you may recall. He was looking out at the world and the people around him, and he was getting discouraged with the fact that he, as someone who loved the Lord and wanted to follow the Lord, saw the evil and the unrighteous prospering in their ways, and said, you know, hey man, nothing ever seems to go wrong for them. You know, the righteous people, they're suffering. The unrighteous people are just kind of, you know, eat, drink, and party and all that. And then it said he went into the temple of the Lord, and he says, it was then that I understood their end, and God renewed within him an eternal perspective. And I think that's an awful lot of what God wants to do with revival, is to help us to get our eyes off of the temporary, the temporal, and to see past it to the eternal. And that certainly, you know, of course, brings us to the whole issue of eternal life.
Yeah, amen. You know, you speak of the Psalm 73 there at the end. The psalmist, you know, goes through that path. And as you declared there at the end, I mean, he says, you know, what do I have in heaven or on earth besides you? I mean, I've got you. Nothing in this world compares to knowing you. And that's a real experience. And unfortunately, there can be a lot of Christians that just don't know that experience. They are still so caught into the flesh, you know, the life of this world. And that is what their mind is processing in their life, you know, and that is where they're getting satisfaction, and they're going up and down like a roller coaster. And they haven't learned the wonder of being near to God and experiencing the omnipotent God and his love and his joy. You know, David, great king. Wow, what responsibility he had as a king right over a nation. So many things to take care of and think about every day. And all that he had around him, and family responsibility, and then even enemies all around that would want to attack the nation. And yet a man who knew what it is to draw near to God and experience the presence of God. And we get that through his psalms and his writings, and just a worshiper of God. He gets off a little bit as a human. He sure does. Falls and stumbles pretty low, but he gets up. God forgives. God is merciful. And then, you know, walks in the grace of God from that point on, and through a lot of difficult trials, yet walking with the Lord. But sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. And referring to the heart, you know, as you're mentioning, you know, the heart can get hard. We've talked about this before on this program, and it might have been Jim Monroe that was talking about the rototiller, you know, break up the fallow ground. Our hearts can get hard. And the way we do that, isn't it, is it's a process of repentance, you know, the humbling ourselves, getting with the Lord. If you're listening right now and your heart is just still not, you know, filled with joy and passion for God, and you're still a bit indifferent, you know, you understand what is right, you have convictions about right and wrong, but you know, you're more apt to go turn on your TV and just sit there than really, you know, open your Bible and pray. That is just indicative of a hard heart. There's hardness there. And yeah, we got other things in life we do. We don't just sit there and pray all day. But yet to really find the joy that comes in just knowing the presence of God and seeking the Lord. And as Dean just read, Pastor Dean, do that till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So Dean, you know, as we're talking about these things, I do would ask you, we talk about revival, and in the world today, there can be a lot of different understandings or misunderstandings about revival. Sometimes we think of a revival because of maybe the part of the country we're in, where we think of you know, the revival meeting. You know, a revival came to town, and I was part of it, you know, and maybe I went to the revival meetings and I got saved. But, you know, a revival, it's like a series of meetings. It may go on for a week or two, and if it has this grace with it, it might go on a little bit longer. Or sometimes, you know, there's things where, you know, there's just sometimes real excessive stuff that goes on, right? And people are looking more and more for that, some sort of, you know, ecstasy experience. You know, they're looking for the great manifestations, and they're seeking those sort of things. So I want to ask you, how would you, what is revival? You know, how would you define that? We're certainly talking about that in different ways, but just I want to ask you the question directly. What is it? You read it from the dictionary, but how would you describe it in terms of the believer or the church? I mean, what does it look like? Let me ask you it that way. What does revival look like in the church?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've got some scriptures here in front of me. You know, that you told me ahead of time we'd be talking about this, so I did a little bit of homework. But when we talk about revival, I think there's a few elements that have to be included in that. One of those is the Word of God. There's a renewed passion and hunger for the Word of God. And we certainly cannot have revival or awakening without God's Word being present and being taught and preached and valued and honored. We've talked a little bit about prayer. And, you know, to keep it simple, prayer is just when we speak with the Lord and it's us talking to Him just like we talk to anyone else. And it's conversation, and it's talking, but it's also listening. And then I think whenever we talk about revival, we have to be talking about repentance. There's a beautiful scripture down in Acts chapter 3, and this, of course, is in the early days of when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And it said here in Acts 3:19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord."
I like that.
I love that scripture. And I think repentance has to be involved whenever we talk about revival, because revival, as we read from Webster's earlier, is about returning and restoring. And it's finding those things that have died, or we've lost focus on, or the flame has gone out, or the coal has gone from red hot to black. And we want to see that passion and that flame reignited. And that passion and that flame is the desire for God and for His presence and for His Word. It's a passion for His very presence in my life. So I think all of those things have to be a part of it. And the signs and the wonders, you know, it's great if that stuff happens, and we love it when it does happen. But, you know, that's not the issue, you know, seeing the signs and the wonders. The ultimate goal of revival and awakening, I think, from God's point of view and the Holy Spirit's point of view, is that our hearts become warm toward Him again, and that we return to the Lord. And, you know, I'll just say one more thing, and I'll let you speak. You know, David, when King David, when he had committed his sin with Bathsheba, you know, and yet the scriptures tell us that, you know, David was always thought of by the Lord as a man who was after God's own heart. We can learn from David. David said in Psalm 32, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah, which is, you know, pause and think about that, or crescendo. "And then, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near you." And then in a similar manner in Psalm 51, which is connected to Psalm 32, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me."
Amen. You know, we're right at a break, Dean, so we're going to come right back after the break. You are listening to Renew FM. This is George Small. And the first half hour of this special hour, where we just want to encourage you at a time like this in the world that we are still in after a good number of weeks. We just want to encourage you as a believer in Jesus Christ, or if you're not, to also pray as we're, you know, discussing some of the things that God ministers to your heart, and you begin to realize that God loves you and has sent his son for you and wants to know you in a very personal way. Life is about knowing God. Well, in the first half hour, Pastor Dean Barm from the Lighthouse Church was on the air, and we return now to our conversation. I know, Dean, just before the break, you were quoting Psalm 51. You know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and talking about times of refreshing and renewal, you know, in the sense of revival. So I'm going to just give you back the microphone here for a moment, let you continue.
Oh, well, thank you. Very kind of you. Yeah, so we were just talking about, you know, repentance and, you know, returning to the Lord. And we had taken a brief look at Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, where David, after his sin, had, you know, come and confessed his sin to the Lord. He found renewal and revival in his own life. And so I think that's something that's very important to us, because, you know, you said there toward the end as well that, you know, if we're just feeling, you know, dry and you know, we're just wondering why is there no kind of passion or zeal, or, you know, why is it that I don't sense any meaning or purpose in my life? You know, that comes from the Lord, and it comes from his presence. You know, like that verse again we read in from Acts chapter 3, you know, repent so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So I think repentance is a strong component to revival and renewal and awakening.
Amen. We say that often on this one-hour show. We've said that many, many times. So needed to get back to the right place. So again, you're listening to Renew FM. This is George Small and Dean Barm, pastors here in Central New England. And maybe as you're listening, you know, you've been a Christian for a while, and you can think back to the time where you gave your heart to Christ. Maybe you're involved with a church. You're pretty faithful in your involvement in the church. But the truth is, if you cut up your week and cut up your life, as far as knowing God intimately and walking with him, you know him, but you just don't really know him that close. You talk to him when you need to. You pick up your Bible now and then when, you know, on certain situations. But your life, as far as walking with God and in the Spirit and communion with God throughout the day, that's just not been your life. And here we are now in our world, and this is an incredible hour that has happened in our world. It is so incredible. And I'm sure you've heard your pastor and other pastors say this. We don't want to miss this moment, because it is extraordinary what is happening, that God would do this or allow this with a little virus, put everything on hold. And we don't even really still completely know what the world is going to be like that we're going into as the world starts to rebuild and gets going. So as you're listening, and, you know, I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. There's no greater life. There's no greater life than knowing God in a real intimate way. You can still be a plumber. You can still be a nurse. You can still be a school teacher or whatever you might be, a student or just at home. But when you really begin to be somebody more and more that really longs and seeks the Lord and knows him, and there's no greater life. You will never regret it, but it is really what the church should be. And that's what Dean is reminding us with this need of repentance. If we haven't been that way, if God has just been more casual to us, more the right thing than a relationship. Imagine if you are married and your spouse just does the right thing with you in your relationship. You know, they just view you as, well, this is what I need to be. This is the right way to do it. This is the right husband or wife to be. And I'm just doing it because out of obligation and duty. This is the right thing. I realize the right thing to do. Wow, what kind of marriage is that, you know, where that's what the person, your spouse, is getting from you, is just, you know, obligation and the sense of duty rather than the desire to just honor you and love you and so forth. And so repentance is so needed. Dean, you want to continue?
Sure. You know, I think one of the things, George, in our world today with social media and smartphones, and we can have access to information in, you know, milliseconds. There's this disdain that has crept into our society for anything that is old, or some people might label it Elizabethan or antiquated. But there's a beautiful verse in the book of Jeremiah that talks about the same idea. And it reads this way, Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But it ends by saying, but they said, we will not walk in it. And the old ways, the old paths, you know, it's the Word of God. It's righteousness. And, you know, people may look upon it and mock it and put it down. But God wants us to grow in righteousness and holiness as his people. And, you know, there's no shortcut. Everybody's looking for the quick fix, for the diet, for the pixie dust in their life. But there's no quick fix. There's no quick fix for your relationship with God except to come to him and humble yourself and repent and begin to walk in those old ways.
Yeah, that scripture I have on my wall at my home office, and we've shared about it a little bit during the last number of weeks doing this. The scripture that was really key to me when I moved out here from California, called by the Lord to come here and, you know, in ministry and serve the Lord. And that was the vision, you know, that message of New England. You've had incredible times historically in the past of revival. And this was such a rich place spiritually, and one that is, you know, drifting from that. And now, you know, the most secular area of our country, liberal, but also now very secular. You know, secular, if you have a secular mind, you don't appreciate what is sacred. You're secular. And, you know, to be a Christian is, well, every, you know, I understand what sacred is. God made me. God made my wife, my marriage, my children. He's given me purpose and call. I just, there's a different view of life, secular, you know. No, it's I understand there's a holy God that's above all things and a creator of the heavens and the earth. And I look to him and his view of the world and his view of my life. And, you know, with what you're saying, Dean, I think of Revelation chapter 3. And it is that sort of thing, God's speaking to the church. And maybe it is the church that represents this age we're in, depending on how you interpret the book of Revelation. But there's one of the seven churches in Asia Minor that John writes to. Church of Laodicea, the Laodiceans. And I do see, interestingly, a pattern of church history through the seven churches. And here would then be a picture also of the end times church. And Jesus says, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of creation God. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you could were cold or hot. And then he says, then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy me for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on the throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So he wasn't here, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, you know, God, Jesus saying to this church, I wish you were cold or hot. The lukewarm thing, you know, the just out of duty, thinking you're one thing when you're not, and you're not passionate about me, and you think you're all spiritual because you can quote Bible verses, and you have maybe some good sense of biblical theology, and you've served, and you can tell all your stories of serving in the children's ministry, but you really are just lukewarm with God and the things of God. You get more excited about other things. God says, wow, man. Jesus says, wow. You know, he's pretty strong about what he says. He's so strong about it. You know, his response is, that's such a turnoff to me. You need to repent. And, you know, I'm rebuking you, and I chasten, and you need to be zealous and repent. So I think of that with the things you're saying too, Dean.
Yeah, and you know, George, that verse there, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You know, that verse, as you well know, is always found in gospel tracts. But this was Jesus speaking to the church.
Right.
And that ought to send shivers up our spine, that he, you know, he's saying to the church, yo, I'm on the outside knocking on the door. Somebody needs to open the door and let me in. And when we can arrive to a place in the church where Jesus is not there, but the church continues business as usual with no understanding, no recognition that, you know, he's departed. He's not even there.
Yeah.
That is just such a scary thing, and that's why it's so important, the verse before that. This is you know, context, context, context. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent.
Yeah,
this is where we are, I think, in the 21st century American church. And, you know, you and I sit here and read this, but I don't think we can sit here and say that that's for everybody else. It's not for me. No, it's for us. It's for every church who would read these words and understand that these are the times that we live in.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Dean, you know, the prayer meeting just does say something about the church, the state of the church, because the prayer meeting is people coming together and talking to God and mm-hmm. not just sitting there listening and receiving. And no, they're talking to God and the God, the creator of heavens and the earth, and believing him for great and mighty things. And it is a statement about the condition of the heart of the church. And, you know, you may be listening. And as you're listening to this conversation at a time like this in our world, and maybe you have more time on your hands now, and you, or maybe you're, you know, it's the same. I know many are, but God has slowed down this planet. He's certainly removed some of the venues of entertainment and some of the things that would fill our hearts and minds before. And I think God is shaking you and this world and all of us, the church, that we'd get our right priorities. And there's nothing better than knowing the Lord. There's no good, better life. There's no greater life. It's just such an amazing life, and God loves us enough that he is stirring us up so we would get serious about him. I hope you're opening your Bibles at home. I hope you're sitting alone with the Lord. I hope you're praying and having communion with him each day, and it's something that's very important to you, just that real closeness with God, making sure it's a priority in your schedule. It's such a tragic situation when a believer can get all excited about all these secular TV shows and tell you about them and tell you about the characters and can't wait till the next one. And yet that same believer who Jesus died for has no excitement about the Lord. And that believer then fulfills Revelation chapter 3 right here. This is the person. And if that's you, then this is what the Lord would say to you. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. And then he gets real strong. Because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth if you don't change. And you need to change, and you need to get serious about me. I love you. I gave my life for you, and I want you to walk with me, and I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit and blow you away with what I can do in your heart and your mind and through your life. So the need to do that. In this letter here, there's three steps to it. And that is, the first is you need to realize. Sometimes we don't realize that we're lukewarm. Sometimes all we saw are lukewarm believers. This is the way church has been. You check in, you check out. And when we're together at church, we talk about sports. We serve, we're on the schedule, we do this. But, you know, at home with my children and my spouse, there's just a little discussion about the Lord. God doesn't really hear from me much during the week. But that's what everybody else is doing. And so we don't realize that we have a spiritual problem. We're lukewarm. And God is working in an incredible way right now and getting our attention. And so you have to realize it. And then you need to consider, maybe when you were, that first days when you were saved, or another time in your life where you're walking closer with the Lord. And you need to return to that. You need to remember, you know, from where you've fallen, where you've gone away from the Lord. And that's what Paul says to the church of Ephesus. Remember from where you've fallen. Go back to your first love. And so, you know, further thoughts, Dean.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that, George, so much. You know, in one of the sermons I was giving a few weeks ago, and honestly, I don't remember what it was, but I remember this came to me during the message, and I shared it. And it's on that theme of, you know, returning to your first love. And I remember the summer of 1980, and that sounds like a long time ago, when I met my wife. We were on a summer mission project in Ocean City, New Jersey, with Campus Crusade for Christ. And that was, you know, one of the peaks of my Christian life. And what made that so special was every morning before work, we woke up, walked down to the beach, and just kind of found our own spot. And I used to go out on this jetty out toward, you know, that jutted out into the water, and just sat out there, and it was just me and the Lord and the roar of the ocean. And I know for me, I look back on that, and I'm like, that was rich. That summer was so powerful for me. And I have to be honest and say, I've never had another time like that in my life where it was so rich, you know, that summer, that, you know, 10 or 12 weeks. And, you know, when we can look back and say that was our best experience sometime in the past, and we can't look to the present days and say, I'm having, you know, some kind of an experience with the Lord. You know, it's not always a peak, obviously, but, you know, there should be something. There should be a fire. There should be a spark. And I think, speaking for me, and you can, you know, speak for yourself, but, you know, I know when I'm studying and preparing for messages, I just feel like, you know, I'm walking in what God has called me to do. And so much of what happened back in that summer of 1980 kind of pointed me to and prepared me for what I'm doing today. You know, and I believe God wants to do these kinds of things in his people. You know, I don't think he ever desired that there would only be one or two people serving and leading the church. I think he wants a lot of people involved in his church. And so one of my prayers is that he'll stir the hearts of his people and more people will get more involved in the church. But by that I mean, you know, passionate for God and, you know, speaking of him and preaching his name to the world around us.
You know, Dean, as you're sharing this story, I wonder how many of our listeners can relate to. I hope as you're listening, you can also think back at least to a time. I hope it's your present time even more so, but you can at least think to a time where, wow, Lord, you are so close to me. It was such a neat thing to walk with you and to hang out with you and to seek you. You know, you give that description. Dean, I've done the same thing so many times here, and I guess we're dating ourselves. We're two old men. And once in a while on this program, we have somebody younger. But I, in 1981, so there you go, a long time ago, same sort of thing, and I share about it now and then. But it was a key experience for me in my life. Venezuela, spent a missions trip where we spent our summer training to go there, and then spent, I don't know, about a month there, and then some debrief back in Maryland when we were done. But in our time, we were building a house on the side of the Lake of Maracaibo, and in this a Christian ministry program, missions program, and they had us every day. You know, you got your Bible. They said, you got to go have your devotions. They gave us some time. I don't know how long it was, maybe an hour. I'd go out. There was a coconut tree that had a bow to it from its base, and I could just sit right there on that coconut tree. I'd look out over Lake Maracaibo, which is, you know, like it's a salt lake that goes into the Caribbean. And I just started to talk to God, and I met with God. That was when it started for me. Mm. I met with him. I did. I couldn't believe it. He met with me. And I then wanted to do it again. And I wanted to do it again. And I've cherished that, and I do think we should have more and more of those times. But, yeah, you get older. You know, you can't just sit on a coconut tree, right? We got now families and jobs and churches and all kinds of things, and those things are good, too, but to yet be the same man. And it is amazing to me when I turn to the Lord and I think of those sort of things. And I just like, Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to just hear you and walk with you. And it's so sweet even now. I've had some incredible times, like I mentioned, in the last number of years where, wow, Lord, that was that. I didn't even know that, you know, that I would sense your presence like that. I was just walking with you, longing for you. And all of a sudden, I just didn't know. I was overwhelmed, you know. I just so overwhelmed with you. And but yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? It's walking with him. And you refer to that. I have the same thing about the same time. Isn't that funny? But I hope you're listening. I hope you can refer to those times. You know, we come into this Christian walk in different ways. Sometimes it's because of a religious family we grew up in, or some sort of, you know, we were trained in Sunday school, you know, and educated in the church in that way about the Bible. But we get going and we believe, but yet it's just not very deep. It's not a relationship that's very deep. And there's nothing better, and it's what we should do. In the Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, there's a strong rebuke to the church for being half-hearted. And I hope you take this opportunity with COVID-19 and really, really determine, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I want to give you all my life. I want to know you more than ever. I want to walk in your love. I want you to use my life. I want to be full of the Spirit. I want to know more and more what that even is, to overflow with just the Holy Spirit. And to have good Word of God and the Bible knowledge is so important, but it has to go beyond our head to our hearts and to our lives, and our lives should overflow with that grace. So, Dean, I just say that same sort of experience, so I mentioned that.
Well, I know we're coming to the end of our time. Is it okay if I just bring the gospel before we sign off tonight?
Yes, you can do that. We've got 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, you know, I know the gospel's preached a lot on this radio station, and you give it frequently as we sign off. And I just want people to know the Lord Jesus loves you. God the Father sent the Son, Jesus, to come to the earth to show us the way to God and to prepare the way and to pay the penalty for our sin. He received the wrath of God that day on the cross when he suffered, that we might stand before God in righteousness and holiness. And throughout the ages, when people have met Jesus Christ, when they've come in contact with him, from the day he walked the earth to the present day, he's always brought change and renewal and awakening and new life. And the scriptures tell us that whom the Son has set free, he or she is free indeed. So I want you to know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the single most important decision anyone can ever make. Because if we leave this earth having never done business with God, meaning we've come to Christ, then we leave this earth for judgment. But if we know Jesus Christ and we've come to him and humbled ourselves and received him into our lives, then we leave this earth for eternal glory in his presence. And so I just want to encourage you today, turn to Christ, give your heart to him, that you may know him forever and ever. And Jesus himself said before he departed from this earth in his high priestly prayer, he said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So God's desire is that you turn your heart toward him. And whether we're talking about revival and awakening for the church to awaken out of our slumber, or whether we're talking about someone who's never known Christ before, this moment, we just encourage you to turn your heart to the Lord this evening and cry out to the Lord in a time when he may be found, which is the present time.
Amen. And you can call 978-665-9111. And again, 978-665-9111. If you have any questions, if we can pray with you, encourage you, you need a Bible. And I'm going to just say a quick prayer, honestly, too, because I just think of someone right now that might be listening. And their heart is stirred by the Lord and about seeking the Lord. And I'm going to just say a quick prayer here with you, Dean, at the end, a general prayer for our listeners. And Father, I just want to thank you, because I just in my mind, I think of an individual right now who his heart is realizing that they need more. There's a crusty, hard heart, and they want to know more. And I ask God, you take them down that path to just begin to seek you and humble themselves before you and get right with you and just repent of their hardness and begin to do the right things of just being alone with you in prayer and the word each day a little bit and just really getting to know you. And I just pray you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. And I just thank you for all you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're listening to Renew FM. This is George Small and Dean Barham. And we'll be back on Monday. I'll be back on Monday with another special guest. You have a great weekend. God bless you.
listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.